read down through here just a little ways. But before we do, let's go ahead and pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we love you and we thank you for your Word. We thank you for your Word incarnate, Jesus Christ. We ask for your blessing on the service today. Lord, we need you. Lord, show up and breathe on this message and help each and every one of us, Lord, to be more like you before we leave this building. If anybody in this room's religious but they've never been saved, Lord, that you'd make the day that day of salvation for them, that they'd call on Christ before it's too late. And Lord, again, we thank you for the opportunity to meet today and ask for your blessing on the nursing home service coming up. And Lord, that you just bless and help us today, Lord, and change us for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter number 2, beginning in verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We had talked about that boasting a little bit earlier. We're talking about Benjamin Netanyahu and how he had met with this one of their leading rabbis several years back. And the rabbi had told him, he said, you know, we're doing things to bring the Messiah in. We're not doing enough. We need to do more to get the Messiah to come in. And Netanyahu said, we are doing things. And the rabbi told him, all the glorious things we're doing, yet we're not doing enough. Well, let me tell you something. All the glorious things you could do, you can never do enough to satisfy God. The only thing that could satisfy God the Father was God the Son shedding God's blood on Calvary. And the death, the burial, and that resurrection. That's all salvation is. That's what it's about. It's all about the death, burial, and resurrection, the blood shed on Calvary. And here the world is caught up in works. If I could just do this, if I could just do that, and that's where the Jews are. That's the reason they're going to bring in their Antichrist, because they're trying to work for him to come back. And they're trying to bring in this kingdom where their works is going to be a justification for the Messiah to come back and say, hey, you've done a great job. And the truth is, they're going to be going through some tough things for 7 years, and that's an understatement. But we're getting out of here. We're getting out of here soon. I want to look at some things today in these verses, though. And the first thing in verse number 2 of Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world." The course of this world. I want to talk about the course of this world. The course of this world is the wrong course. Amen. It's the wrong direction. You know, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. The world's on a broad course. It's on the wrong course. It's in opposition to truth. And we look around and we see all these things going on, and we see all this craziness in the world, and we say, how could this be? Because the world is on a worldly course. Amen? That's what the world does. It's on this worldly course. And this course, of course, is not God's course. The little g-god of this world, the devil's running things right now. Amen? I'm not talking about the one in the White House. I'm talking about another devil. I'm talking about the devil. Amen? But I'm not talking about the politicians. I'm not talking about the leaders that are going the wrong direction. I'm not talking about, we call them leaders or we call them greeders, whatever they are. They're greedy. It's the love of money, and the love of money is the root of all evil. But the course of this world is a path of destruction. And what he's saying here is the course of this world, that if you're saved today, you were on that course. You were on that course. If you're here today and you're lost, you're on that course. What's the path of destruction? Well, say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I don't know about this Jesus Christ thing. I don't know about the blood, the death, burial, and resurrection. I'm a pretty good person. I haven't murdered anybody. I try to do good things. I donate the extra thing at Lowe's when they say, would you hit the button for heroes and all that stuff. I do this. I do that. I go to Walmart and I donate to the Children's Miracle Network. When that pops up on the screen, I think I'm a pretty good person. Well, let me tell you can be as good as you think you can be and try to do the best you can do. You're still on a path of destruction. Because when the It's all said and done. When you draw your last breath, you're either going into eternal life or you're going into everlasting destruction. That's what hell is. It's everlasting destruction. Where the fire is never quenched and a worm dieth not. That worm being the soul of a lost man. That's the everlasting destruction this world is headed toward. The course of this world is the course of the devil. You say, when's the Antichrist going to be here? He's already running things. He just isn't physically on this earth at this moment that we know of. But he's already running things. Amen? He's been running things since Genesis chapter 3. When man fell, the devil's been running this mess, and you know, God intervenes. God does intervene from time to time, and he allows the devil to do some things, and the devil's on a fairly short leash compared to what's going to happen here after the rapture. But the course of this world is not a good course. It's not a good course at all. The course of this world is in opposition to truth. The course of this world is perversion and unholiness and unrighteousness. We were at Walmart the other day. That almost explains the whole... I don't even have to tell the story. You say we were at Walmart, you can fill in the blanks in your mind and say, you went to the carnival. Amen. And you saw the bearded woman and you saw... Amen. Amen. You saw all this. But we're walking down there and there's a... I don't know. I don't have their birth certificates. I don't know who's who or what's what. I don't know what they're trying to be or what they're doing. But we're walking back by the electronics section and there's something with tights on and a coon tail hanging out the back. What do you say? I told my wife on the way to church today, we were talking about that, you know, because first of all, tell them, don't you know where we're at? We're in Redneckville and there's coon season. Why would you even do that? Amen. What are you trying to do? What? But it's a rebellious spirit. You know, it used to be, I'm going to grow long hair and braid it. I don't care if you're male, female, whatever. I'm going to grow the long hair. That's a rebellion thing. I'm going to put my hat on sideways. I'm going to wear my britches hanging down around my knees and I look like I got a soggy diaper on for the, you know, that goofy stuff, you know. It's a rebellion. That's what it is. Now we've got to the point of rebellion where people are pretending to be animals. And why wouldn't they? They go to school, and your tax money pays to tell them they come from monkeys. Amen. Because the world is on the wrong course. So when you walk through Walmart, and you see this thing going on around you, these oddities, it's the course of the world. It's the course of the world. And you know, the one reason the world is on such a crazy course is because the family unit has been basically thrown out the window. And, the men trying to be women and women trying to be men didn't start with men putting on dresses and women with a pitchfork and overalls like Hee-Haw or something. It started with men at home saying, I'm not going to be a dad, I'm not going to be a husband, and women saying, I'm not going to be a wife, I'm not going to be a mom. And it started with the world saying there's something wrong with you if you want to lead your house, men. And there's something wrong and weak about you, woman, if you want to follow a man that's trying to follow Jesus Christ. But the first thing they wanted to kick the slats out of was following Jesus Christ. There's something wrong with you if you want to follow Jesus Christ. Now, I know that we get into religion, you get into all crazy stuff, you know, this... a lot of crazy things and, you know, a lot of wars, religious wars and all that stuff. But true born-again, Bible-believing Christians don't start wars. They are placed in a battle at salvation, and it's a battle over men's souls. It's not about money. It's not about power of carnal things. It's a battle trying to steal people from the mouth of the lion, the devil, by introducing him to the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ. The course of this world is a mess. Verse number 2 again, it says, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There you go, that disobedience thing again. What's that disobedience? The whole thing is a rebellious spirit. This world just has a terrible rebellious spirit, and it's spilled over into quote-unquote Christianity, if you will. And Christianity today, if I tell you that the Bible says... drunkards and a whoremongers God will judge, there are preachers all over the world that will call me a legalist because I quoted what the Bible said. Amen. Because that rebellious spirit has snuck into the churches and snuck into the preachers and snuck into the preaching. I'm not going to peek in your windows at night and see if you're drinking, if you're smoking, if you're making crack. I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to tell you from this pulpit what's right and what's wrong according to the Word of God. And if you're mad at me, you might want to check yourself and see if it's really me you have the problem with or this book. But there are preachers all over the world that would say, hey, we just drink a little bit to blend in so we can tell people about Jesus. And if I say, come out from among you, come among them, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean things, saith the Lord, be not unequally yoked together. If I say that, they'll say, well, you're a legalist. I'm not a legalist, I'm a Bible believer. I'm just preaching what the book says. You know what a legalist really is? A legalist says, you've got to touch not, taste not, do this, do that, don't do this, and don't do that to get to heaven. I'm telling you, to get to heaven, you have to call on Jesus Christ as a sinner that needs salvation and ask Him to forgive you and save you. I'm telling you how to get to heaven. That's free. But if you want to walk the Christian walk, then you're going to have to conform to the words of God. But rebellion has not only snuck into the schoolhouse and the White House, it snuck into the church house. And it's being preached as normal. So how could these things be? How could these kids be so confused? Well, because Christians quit being Christians. Amen. Preaching quit being preaching. Hey, you ought to be mad at me once in a while. And you ought to go home and say, is it really him that I don't like? Or is it what the book says? But if you come in this place and you're always happy and joy, and you walk out feeling the same way you came in, you really ought to vote on finding another church or another leader of this one. Another second in command, Jesus Christ the leader. Amen. But the preaching of the Word of God is the reason we're able to assemble here today. Amen. Back when people believed the book, back when people taught the book, back when people sought the book, back when lost people would respect the book and respect a church for preaching the book, this country was founded. I was walking behind another guy. He didn't have a coontail, but he had a shirt on. It was all about the Second Amendment, and I'm a Second Amendment guy. I think that we ought to have a Second Amendment, but I think they ought to leave all the junk alone. I don't think I ought to, whatever. We're supposed to obey them that rule over us as long as they don't cross the Word of God. And if they come and take my guns, then I guess I'll just take my guns. If they come and take my Bible, they better hope they took my guns first. I can live without a gun, but I'm not going to fare very well without this. The children of disobedience, well, I'd be just like one of them about 6-8 weeks. Am I any better? No, but I get whooped every once in a while when I read the book to tell me, hey, you're going the wrong way. You need to get back online, on course. You're on the wrong course. Amen. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Think about that word disobedience. They won't take correction. They won't follow direction. And they got a really weird view of affection. See that? Think about it. I was talking to a guy, gave him a track the other day. He was on a road worker over here. He happened to be a black guy. Give him a track, and he said, oh, you're out doing the Lord's work. So I'm trying to. Talked to him for a little while. And we were talking about that. We were talking about a big problem with the world, a big problem with the country is the perverted idea of what love is. If you want a definition of love, don't go to Webster's 1828 dictionary. Open a King James Bible and find out what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. Amen? You want to know what charity means? And it's not love. Charity and love are two different words. That's why the King James Bible has them as two different words. Charity is the outworking of love. Charity is giving with no expectation of receiving. The ultimate love and the ultimate charity ever performed was on Calvary. Jesus Christ gave knowing you had nothing to offer Him back. Amen. What could you do to pay for His death, burial, and resurrection? If you could pay for that, He wouldn't have died anyway. But we were talking about the perverted view of love. He said, I never really thought about that. I said, that's what it is. It's a perverted view. I don't know about you. Some days I just want out of here for all the wrong reasons. I want out of here because I'm tired of looking at this dumpster. I'm tired of hearing about, you know, this woman, man thing, this thing, man. This. I mean, I didn't intentionally pitch my tent towards Sodom, but I'll tell you what. If you have Jesus Christ living in you, you have righteousness in you, and it's a vexation to be stuck in this world and have to look at what's going on that's against God everywhere. We're no better than anybody. But I've got a book, and I have a Savior. Wouldn't it just be a perfect place if we could all just be who we want to be and pretend and, you know, just lolly, 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 and just, you know, pretend like everything's good, and if it feels good for you, do it, and whatever's good for you. How about a standard of right and wrong? If there wasn't a standard of right and wrong, we wouldn't be here today. You know where we'd be? We'd be under a corrupt king in another land. And as soon as you walk out from under the authority of King Jesus, that's where you're headed. That's why this nation's going down the tubes, waiting for the final flush in this giant stool of a world, amen? Because they've taken themselves out from under the authority of King Jesus. You look at that Bill of Rights, you look at that Constitution, and everything in there was based on biblical principles by men and women that believed the book. They believed in the beginning God. They believed Jesus Christ is going to judge. They believed there's a hell and a heaven. And now the spirit of rebellion we talked about, the course of this world, the children of disobedience. Hey, the children of disobedience. And now look, I'm telling you, I've got all kinds of problems myself. I'm just a man, and Jesus Christ is going to show up and do something. If we're going to get any help today, the Spirit of God's going to do it. But I'm telling you one thing, that spirit of disobedience in the pulpits is not leading us in a good place. If I come in here and say, I just want to tell you what you want to hear, and if I make you happy enough, you'll put more money in there, and then maybe I get a nicer car. Just shoot me. I mean, good night. This is so much bigger than money and things. This is about the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the souls of men. Children of disobedience. I have preachers, a group of them, making fun of me because I believe the Bible. Preachers. Oh, and making faces like they had sour lemons. Because I quote the Bible and says, I believe this book. And when I tell you how to read it, I'm talking about this book right here. You know what's happened? It's an unchecked spirit of disobedience. Lord, help me that I never get in a pulpit and lie to you or tell you that there's anything wrong with this book or that you shouldn't be following what it says. But this world's going downhill because Christianity, quote-unquote, is not what it should be. And you know what the Bible says? They will not endure sound doctrine. You could probably drive less than 20 minutes and find a church right now with 300, 400 people in it. And you know what they're doing? And I'm not bragging on us. I just thank God for whatever truth we have and Him allowing us to meet together and tell everybody He is good. He is worthy. But they're in there singing Kumbaya with their woman preacher, a lot of them, with their rainbow flag, a lot of them, with their anything goes as long as you're happy when you leave. Maybe you come in a little bit sad, but I just want you to leave happy. I hope you're happy when you come in and happy when you leave, but I hope it's joy from the Lord. Not some kind of pumped up carnal thing that you have to pretend and you go home at night and you're the only one that knows the truth about you. You and the Lord. That you're a mess. Amen. You went to church and wasted your time. Wasted, if you're saved, you wasted God's money by putting in a play to somebody that lied to you. Amen. And you're wasting what God's given you by not bragging on Jesus Christ and telling people, hey, heaven's real, hell's real, and here's the answer. The United States of America was a great nation, was past tense a great nation. because people used to believe the book, they used to teach the book, they used to preach the book, they used to submit to the book, and they used to understand that they'll be judged by the judge of all judges, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. We'll all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ if you're saved, and the great white throne of judgment if you're lost. People believe that. Call me old-fashioned, but I still believe that. I still believe that. The course of this world, the children of disobedience, they won't take direction. They won't seek correction. They reject perfection. Jesus Christ. They reject Jesus Christ. Perfection. Look at verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The conversation of the lost. You know what the conversation is? With versation. Versation is talking about a speaking. It's talking about what your life preaches to other people. Not just your words, but your actions. A conversation in the Bible is talking about the way you live. And it's talking about the conversation of the lost. Your conversation ought not be like the conversation of the lost. Our conversation ought not be like the conversation of the lost. You know why it is? Look at verse 3 again. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The carnality of the unregenerate mind. The unregenerate mind. You know what the unregenerate mind does? Whatever it wants to do. And the only boundaries an unregenerate mind has is family values that were emplaced in it. I don't know about y'all, but I haven't met a perfect family yet. Nobody ever raised a sinless child other than Jesus Christ. There was nobody ever sinless. But the unregenerate mind just does what it wants to do. You know what the unregenerate mind does? If it feels good, do it. That's what the unregenerate mind does. You know what the new mind? We're supposed to be renewed. Have a renewing of the mind. Have the mind of Christ. The new mind says, hey, sin's pleasurable for a season, but there's a payment for that. There's a cost for that. And I'm not the only one that's going to pay for that. Somebody else is going to pay for that. My actions and my reactions and my life are going to cost somebody else something. Amen. That's what a regenerate mind thinks. A regenerate mind doesn't just think about you. It thinks about everybody else and how you're affecting other people with your life, with your conversation, with your walk, with what you do, with the way you act and react. Amen. The unregenerate mind says, so what? You know what the unregenerate mind produces? I've preached in the prisons. I've seen third and fourth generation convicts. I've seen young men, 20, 30 years old, that were arrested cooking meth with their mom. Amen. Their dads and their uncles were selling drugs, and they were selling drugs. They were your pack mule for them. I've heard these men sitting, these young men sit and say, yeah, me and my mom was selling dope down here, and we got busted, and here I am. What's wrong with that? Unregenerate mind. So maybe they're saying, I don't believe most of these people are saved. I mean, I don't say people can do about anything a lost person can do except go to hell. But I believe you've got generations of unregenerate people doing stupid things against truth, and we're seeing the fruit of it. We're seeing the fruit of it. The conversation of the lost, the carnality of the unregenerate mind. Look at 4 and 5. Happy Father's Day, right? Here we go. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. We've seen the course of the world, the children of disobedience, the conversation of the lost, the carnality of the unregenerate mind. Now we see the compassion of God. You know what God is? So how do you define God? Well, one way is He is rich in mercy. He is rich in mercy. All these people we talked about, the course of the world, the children of disobedience, the conversation of the lost, the carnality of mind, you know what they all deserve? You know what I deserve before I got saved? To burn in hell. Why? Because I was at enmity with God. I was an enemy of the truth. But you know who God is? God is a God who is rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. The compassion of God. You see, God's not a psychologist. You know what? You know the main reason he's not a psychologist? He don't believe in psychology. He believes in the Bible. But he's not a psychologist. And I'll tell you what I mean when I say that. God doesn't exhibit empathy. Empathy makes me want to throw up. That word is just so fake. Because that's what it is. Empathy. You know what God does? He can sympathize. You know why he can sympathize with you? Because he came to this earth in the flesh. And he was hungry like you. He was thirsty like you. He suffered pain like you. He was tired like you. He had sorrows like you. He doesn't pretend to relate to you. He can relate. Not to a sin nature. But he can relate to the problems caused by sin that you deal with and I deal with. You don't need Freud, you need a father. Amen? God the Father. And there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. The compassion of God. A God who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. If you're here today and you're lost, you are dead in your sins. And you, if you draw your last breath in that condition, you will be in hell forever. There won't be a party. There won't be a rock concert. There will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And there will be a time no more where you're stuck in a place where you can't get out of. It's not like, well, maybe the parole board. No, there won't be a parole board. Well, maybe I can get a hold of the governor. There won't be a governor. Maybe it would get a mistrial. There won't be a mistrial. Because when you're judged guilty at the white throne of judgment, the perfect judge will judge you guilty. There's no higher court to appeal to. Amen. But the compassion of God's offering you eternal life now. Look at 6 and 7. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might shew the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. See the compassion of God, we see the charity of God. You know what He's given you? He's giving you undeserved favor. He's shown you mercy. He's giving you undeserved favor. How is He giving you undeserved favor? He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. People that deserve to be burning forever in an eternal flame have been given eternal life in Christ Jesus because of the compassion of God, because of the charity of God. And you know, religion gets this all messed up. Religion gets this to where, well, if you could do enough, you know what? If you told me if I could do enough, I could get to heaven, I'd quit tomorrow. If you were just honest with yourself for 10 minutes, you'd know you deserve hell and there's no way out of it on your own. So how people can line up in churches and sit in pews and say, well, I think I'm going to be good enough. I think I might do enough. I think I've done pretty good so far. I think God's going to pull out the magic scales and I'm just going to put Him in awe of me. When they don't realize the other side of that scale is going to have Jesus Christ in it, the perfect man. All man and all God standing on the other side of that scale. And you're not going to move it. So I might tilt it a little. No, all your righteousnesses are filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. The best you can do will land you in hell. If they told me I had to work my way to heaven, I'd say, well, no, I'd probably work my way to hell. I think I'd get that one, but there ain't no way I'd work my way to heaven. How you figure? Well, look what Jesus didn't do. Everything that I've done wrong. He didn't do any of it. Amen? If you told me I had to be a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon and go knocking on doors and trying to convince people and convince myself that I'm going to be good enough, I'd just quit. I'd just quit. If you told me that I could lose my salvation, I'd quit. I wouldn't believe you, but if I believed you, I'd quit. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. I believe it. My sheep hear my voice, they shall never perish. I don't believe I'm going to lose my salvation. I can't do it because it's not mine. It's Christ, and Jesus Christ is my salvation. God the Father placed me through the Spirit in Christ when I got saved. I got a better deal than Noah ever got. I got an ark that has no doors or windows I can fall out of. Amen. I'm in Christ. The compassion of God, the charity of God, and the religion clouds everything up. That religion wants to keep things cloudy so they can control you. I'm here to tell you today, you can get saved, walk out this door, never come back to church, and still go to heaven. You can get saved, walk out this door, tell everybody, I hate that preacher, I hate everybody in there. You could tell everybody that the Bible's a lie. If you're saved, you're still going to heaven. Amen. I don't think you could really do that with a good any conscience. I don't think you could do that. I think you'd be a mess by the time you got to the alley if you start doing that stuff. You're saved. But I'm telling you right now, it's not about what you do. When you're talking about heaven and hell, there's very little to do with you. I'll tell you what your part is. You're the sinner. You're the sinner. You're the one that's broken God's rule that deserves hell. And everything else in salvation is Jesus Christ. He paid your debt, He rose from the grave, and He's offering you eternal life. So, well, what about the Catholics? What about the Free Will Baptists? What about the Methodists? What about the Presbyterians? What about the Bible? What about the Bible? The compassion of God, the charity of God. Happy Father's Day. Let's look at the clarity of God. The clarity of God. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The clarity of God. It doesn't get any clearer than that. Salvation is a gift of God. It has nothing to do with your works. If it did have anything to do with your works, you could boast. We're from the Jehovah's Witness. Would you like to read our watchtower? Because we're doing good things and handing out these. And if they could earn their way to heaven like that, they'd get to heaven and say, look what we did, hooray! And the Mormons, you know, we're doing our thing. You come down to our church and you will do all this stuff and do all this ritualistic things. The Catholics, you know, the whatever group you want to look at that are doing these things, trying to earn their way to heaven. If they could actually earn their way to heaven, they could stand up and go, woo, look at me. But you know what the truth is? You deserve hell. There's nothing you can do to get around it except trust Jesus Christ. And when you get to heaven, you'll go, woo, look at Him. Amen. Religion likes to cloud it up. The compassion of God, the charity of God, the clarity of God. We're going to go through this one more time. I want to make sure this is crystal clear. If you're going to heaven, you're not going because of you. You're going because of Jesus Christ. For by grace, undeserved favor, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right there, there are two verses in the Bible that chops religion off at the knees and gives you truth that you cannot reject with a sound mind. For by grace are you saved through faith. I'm going to heaven because of grace. So I thought you were going by Jesus. He is my grace. I'm going because He's merciful. He's long-suffering. I'm going because of His grace. I'm going because He offered me a gift and I took it. So you took it. That's a work. No, it wasn't. I went to Him and said, Lord, I can't do anything. I'm a mess. But I believe You've done it all. Please save me. Amen. What worries me more than anything, I don't care if there's 20 people or 2,000 people in a church building and I'm preaching in here. What worries me more than anything is me standing at the white throne of judgment one day as an observer and seeing a church member go to hell. Whew. Say, well, that can't be. We're Baptists. Baptists don't save you. Jesus saved you. There'll be Baptists in hell. Oh, yeah. They'll be frying right next to the Catholics and the Lutherans and the Methodists and the Presbyterians that didn't get saved. Amen. Who goes to heaven? People get saved. Doesn't matter what they call themselves. Amen. And look, doctrinally, I'm a Baptist from the bottom of my head, top of my feet, and all that stuff. Top of my head, bottom of my feet. I'm a Baptist. I believe what the Baptists believed 150 years ago. I believe that. I got the same book they had then, amen. I believe it. Got the same Savior. But I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. Probably in spite of it. I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ died on Calvary. He dropped my sin off in hell. He come back out of the grave. He convicted my heart, and I called on Him and trusted Him for salvation. The compassion of God, the charity of God, the clarity of God. He made it so clear that anybody can understand it if they just listen. It's better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. Well, some preacher told me, and I talk to people, I couldn't tell you how many times I've talked to somebody witnessing to them, they go, my grandma's a preacher. Well, good for her. How are you getting to heaven? Well, my uncle's a preacher. My grandma and grandpa both preached, and they were both pastors down here. And how are you getting to heaven? Well, I know my dad's a preacher. I'm not asking you what your dad does. I'm asking you how you're getting to heaven. It just boggles my mind how they could have all these preachers and not be able to tell me how to get to heaven. I may not be worth much, but I'll tell you this. You'll go to hell without Jesus Christ, and the only way you're going to heaven is with Jesus Christ and through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if I had one message to preach and couldn't preach anything else, I'd preach that every single week just like that. Reading that verse. For by grace you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That if thou shalt confess thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If that's all the verses I had, praise God, that's more than you need. You just need to get saved. Afterwards, it's kind of nice to have Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption, so the devil can't come around and steal your joy by telling you you're going to get lost again. Happy Father's Day. God's made it clear. Clarity of God. Clarity of God. For by grace ye say through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if you're saved, you're gifted. Amen? You're gifted. But you know what I found over the years dealing with me and other people that are saved? A lot of times people are gifted, but they've drifted. I'm not talking about losing salvation. I'm talking about being away from Christ and where they should be in their walk. You know what the Bible says? You know what Jesus Christ told Peter? And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Maybe you're gifted and you've drifted, and the devil says, boy, I'd like to see you sifted. You know what how's he sift a saved person? He'll shake you out of church. Amen. He'll shake you out of your prayer life. He'll shake you out of your Bible study. Shake you out of your dedication time with your Word of God. Shake you out of your praise. Shake you out of your purpose. Can't shake you out of Christ, but he can shake you out of your joy and peace if you let him. Gifted, but drifted. Remember, Peter, he denied Christ. Christ told him beforehand, Satan would like to have you... He may sift you as wheat. You may feel like you've been sifted. I don't know about y'all, but you can get there. Amen. I'll tell you a preacher story that most preachers probably won't tell you. I don't want to come to church sometimes. Amen. Oh, no, preachers, they just love it. They love to get up. No, because the devil kicks your teeth in all day Saturday night, half of Sunday morning. You got to go up there and preach, and sometimes you're not even in the will of God all the way. You're like, I had a bad day yesterday. I don't feel good. I wish I could have stayed home. And you get up and you go, Lord, please help us. Just like you do when you come to church some Sunday mornings. Amen. Everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong. and you drag into the church house, and you start singing about the Lord. And, oh, you know you're gifted, but you've been drifted way away from where you should be. Oh, man, the devil, you've been sifted. But something happens when you show up and God shows up, and then you go, I'm going to wrap it up with this. And you're lifted. You feel like you spiritually crawl in and slither up into the seat like just a worm that you are that morning, you know? And you get in that seat and you're like, I can't even believe I'm here around these other people that are probably doing something right. Hey, man, I'll be honest. I'll be too honest with you. You'll vote me out of here probably. And then you start bragging on Jesus Christ. And He lifts you up. And He says, hey, you still have the same foundation. You're still standing on the solid rock. Get up. Get off your knees unless you're talking to me. Stand up. Stand up. Amen. You might have come in here gifted, drifted, and sifted. I hope and pray that you get right with God before you leave here and you're lifted. Because He's the only one that can do it. The devil's just going to keep tearing you down. The world's going to keep beating you up. And the flesh is going to keep attacking itself, attacking you. But God will show up and lift you back up out of the muck and mire. Put you back on your feet so you can walk for Him again. Compassion of God, the charity of God, the clarity of God. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Nobody looking around, just be honest. Just eyes closed for just a minute. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. Could you say today that you're saved by grace through faith? Or that you're just hoping maybe you'll get in? If you're here today and you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, pray that He'll strengthen you so you can live for Him and walk with Him every step of the way. If you're here today and you're lost, in the course of this world, children of disobedience, with the conversation of the lost, the carnal, unregenerate mind, won't you trust Him today? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.